evening. It's a joy to be here tonight. And it always amazes me when I come into this part of Indiana how many holiness people are in the hills and hollers of Shoals. And it's just a privilege to be here tonight and to see your smiling faces. I turned onto one of these wild roads and I saw Albright Store Road. It took me on that road and I knew I had to be close. And thankfully, I made it here. I did forget just for a hot second that I was not in the high rise of Cincinnati because I took one of those turns out. I think it was on 150. I was coming from Louisville. I don't know all the roads. I just followed whatever my map said, but I think it's 150. And I was buzzing through, acting like I was going through downtown Cincinnati around a curve, except this curve is nothing like downtown Cincinnati. It kept going. And I about did not make it here tonight. Thankfully, there was no oncoming traffic, or I wouldn't be here tonight. But it's a joy to be here, and I'm excited to see what God has for us tonight. And I'm trusting that you'll be receptive to whatever God has for you. I don't know what that will be, but I'm trusting Him to speak to my heart and your heart, and I'm anticipating His help tonight. If you're glad to be in revival tonight, let me hear you say amen. I like when you all say amen. You can say whatever you want within reason. It's just a privilege to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 is where we're going to begin our reading tonight. And then we're also going to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. But you can look at Genesis chapter 6 first. We'll begin our reading with verse number 13. I like to hear those Bibles rustling. You don't hear that much anymore. And so that's good to hear. It's Genesis chapter 6, verse number 13. If you're there, let me hear you say amen one more time. Amen. All right, sounds decent. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons' wives, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee, and they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it unto thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Get this verse, verse number 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Then we are going to jump quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word tonight. We ask that you would help us to speak what you would have us to speak, and help our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your truth. In your name, amen. We read tonight in the book of Genesis and in the book of Hebrews that Noah was a man of great faith. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We didn't read that verse this evening. It's just a few verses up. And he was willingly obedient even when the obstacle he was facing was unknown. And this evening, God wants us to recognize and he wants us to be men and women of faith, to trust God entirely even when we don't know what's next in our life. So I think we've figured out what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about faith. It's very important for us to understand this biblical truth, this foundational truth, and that is faith. Faith believes what God says, does what God requires, and trusts and rests on what God has promised. Faith. And I want us first to consider that Noah built an ark by faith. Remembering the definition I just gave you for faith, it's believing what God says, it's doing what God requires, and trusting and resting in what God has promised. If we can grasp that concept this evening as we think about Noah, I believe it will help us understand what we're trying to accomplish tonight. The first step of faith is believing what God says. Noah was a righteous man. Being righteous simply means being right with God. And Noah's righteousness did not come from good works. Noah didn't just will himself into being right with God. But Noah, through good works, became an ambassador for Christ in a community that he found himself in. And the only way that you can be right with God and the only way that you can become an ambassador for Christ in the community that you find yourself in is by confessing your sins and trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And somehow along Noah's life, somewhere in his journey, he grew up or he found or understood what it meant to become a Christian. You see, I believe that Noah had a godly heritage. I want to talk to our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and adults tonight. It's imperative that we teach our children that they must please God. It's not enough just to live a Christian life and hope that our children, our young people, the world around us, that they will become a Christian just by willing themselves to. It's not enough just to live our Christian life, to do everything we personally know to do and not share why we believe what we believe to our children, our young people, and those around us. Noah no doubt learned from his father how to serve and how to honor the Lord. His father was Lamech. If you go down that family tree, you would find that Lamech was Noah's dad and Methuselah was Lamech's dad. We know who Methuselah was. And Methuselah's dad was Enoch. We know who Enoch is, right? He loved God so much. He did exactly what God had told him to do. He followed God to the very best of his ability. And God saw that he was doing such a fantastic job. He said, Enoch, I just want to take you right now. And God took him. And Noah's heritage was a godly one. And no doubt his grandparents, his parents taught Noah how to honor and please the Lord. Friends, I want to tell us this evening that it's so important that we train our children, we train our young people, we act in a way in the world around us that they can recognize that we're honoring and serving the Lord. We have to teach them. The world around us, our children, our young people are watching. They're leaning on us for us to teach them. They're waiting for their minds to be filled with knowledge. And if we don't fill it with God's word, if we don't fill our young people's minds and our children's minds with truth about the Bible, someone else will. We live in a digital age, don't we? Social media, internet, anywhere you look, you will find influences that will influence your mind. And if we as Christians and leaders and parents and grandparents, if we're not doing our due diligence, not only for our souls and ourselves, but if we are not training and teaching our children and those who we have influence in, someone else will. And it's our mission, it's our purpose as Christians, as parents, as teachers, to honor the Lord first, but also teach our children and our young people in the way of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man who believed what God said. That's important. We know the story well, I'm sure. I just read it. I wanted to refresh your mind. We grew up learning about Noah and the ark. The world was a wicked place. There were sinful acts and sinful people everywhere, and God had had enough. God said that he was going to destroy the earth, and he told Noah to build an ark. Now, I don't know about you, but I have an interesting imagination. I think Noah is working in the field one day, and suddenly God comes to him and he says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Now, if you can stop and think about this just for a moment, I don't think Noah knew what an ark was. I don't think Noah knew what was about to happen to him. And as you can imagine, he's wondering, what in the world is an ark, Lord? What in the world do you mean, a flood? What's a flood? But despite the uncertainty, despite that obstacle mentally in his mind, Noah did exactly what God commanded him to do. Noah didn't know the future. He didn't know what the flood would look like. He didn't know how long he would have to be on this monstrosity of a building. Noah built an ark by faith. And we read in verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Noah believed what God said. Noah did what God required of him. And then Noah trusted and rested in what God promised. What amazing faith. Noah built an ark by faith. You say, preacher, that's just wonderful truth. We knew about that in the very first grade. What in the world are you trying to teach us tonight? Well, I want us to recognize that we live in a world filled with uncertainty. And God wants us to recognize that even though when we don't know what's next, even though obstacles come, even though challenges arise, God wants us to be men and women of faith and to trust Him no matter what comes. What is God asking you right now to have faith over? What obstacle in your life right now is God asking you to have faith over? It may seem ambiguous. It may seem big. It may seem overwhelming. It may seem unthinkable. What is God asking you to have more faith over? Noah built an ark by faith. I'll let you think about that while we move on. Noah not only built an ark by faith, a monstrosity of a building that he had no idea what was really going to happen, and he did it. But Noah built an attitude of integrity through faith. You say, how do you get that? Well, hang on. Throughout his administration, Abraham Lincoln was a president under fire, especially during the scarring wars of the years of the Civil War. And though he knew he would make errors of office, he resolved never to compromise his integrity. So strong was his resolve that one day he wrote in his journal this, I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left. And that friend shall be deep down inside of me. He was talking about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a testament to integrity. The President of the United States of America, who had power at his fingertips, recognized that integrity was important. What's integrity? Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, or doing what is right when no one's watching. And Noah was that type of man. Look with me in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. So if Noah's righteousness describes his standing before God, he was right with God, then his blamelessness describes his conduct before people. You see, to be blameless, it means that we are to be having integrity, or to have integrity that is unblemished. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, Philippians chapter 2 helps us understand what we're talking about. Philippians chapter 2 says that Noah's conduct was such that his neighbors couldn't find any fault in him. His neighbors couldn't find any fault with him. He's out there building this monstrosity of a building, an ark. He's hammering away, and you never hear Noah yelling at his children. You never hear Noah lashing out in anger and rage at what's happening. No, his neighbors couldn't find any fault in him. Friends, if we're going to be right before God through faith, and we're going to walk with him through faith, then we're going to have to be blameless with our conduct with others. Titus chapter 1 warns of Christians, or of people, excuse me, who are unruly, vain talkers, deceivers. Paul warns that there are people who profess that they know the Lord, but in works they deny him, being abominable, being disobedient, in every good work reprobate. Faith without works is dead, James chapter 2, verse 14 tells us. And if we're living a life that is abominable, that is disobedient, maybe you're being a vain talker, a deceiver, you're lying, you're cheating, you're not conducting your life in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, then you are not being blameless, as Noah was, before others. You see, Noah was the kind of person you wanted to be around. Noah was blameless. You wouldn't catch Noah backbiting. You wouldn't catch Noah gossiping. You wouldn't catch Noah evil speaking. Noah walked with God, verse 9 tells us. Noah built an attitude of integrity in his life. Now think of this with me. Think of the peer pressure that Noah faced in his day. The world was filled with evilness. Verse 5 of chapter 6 says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, talking about humanity, was only evil continually. And we think that here in the United States of America and in our world today, we live in an evil day. And we do. But I don't think we're that far yet. We have a host of brothers and sisters right here tonight who praised the Lord tonight and who worshiped him, and we sung praises to the Lord, and that's wonderful. That's amazing, and we need to rejoice in that. But we see Noah in a day and age where it was him and his wife and his family, and that was it. Can you imagine the peer pressure that he faced? Noah's building this ark and people are walking down the road, or maybe he's at the market and they're saying, oh, there's Noah. He's building an ark. What's an ark, Noah? Well, I don't really know yet. There's going to be a flood. What's a flood, Noah? They hadn't seen a flood. Can you imagine the peer pressure that Noah faced? And yet he stood firm. You know, in our culture today, we face all sorts of evil. I recognize that. There's pornography, there's drugs, there's immoral behavior, there's murderers, there's robberies, there's cheating, there's lying, and you could go on and on. But let me tell you tonight, if we're going to develop godly character, if we're going to have faith, if we're going to have integrity in our day, if we're going to be obedient, if we're going to trust God, we're going to have to rely on what God has said in His Word. We're going to have to fight for God's Word through prayer, and we're going to combat the fiery darts that the devil throws our way. We can stand firm. We can stand for truth. We can trust God. Amen? We can believe that He's coming again one day and He's going to take His sons and daughters to glory. We can believe that. And though we are in the midst of a chaotic world, and even though we're in a world that seems like it's changing every day, we can rest on the foundational truths of God's Word tonight, and we can know that He has not changed and He will not change, and we can make it. Hallelujah. Noah had nobody. You have a host of brothers and sisters right here tonight who are encouraging you, who can help you, who can encourage you along the journey. We're blessed tonight. We're blessed. You can make it. God wants to build integrity in your life through faith. You can do it. You can do it. God wants us to be men and women of faith, to trust God entirely, even when we don't know what's next in our life. There's lots of things that are uncertain, but God wants you to have faith over it. Yes. We need to be righteous before God. We need to be blameless before others. But also, another thing we can learn about Noah's life and what he accomplished on this earth is that Noah built confidence in his eternal destiny. Noah knew where he was going when he died. You say, well, what in the world? You're getting a little off there. Well, let's remember what faith is. Faith believes what God says, does what God requires if you do this, rest in what God has promised, and we have the whole entire Bible in front of us. And we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 that, for by grace, grace is God's love and mercy to undeserving people, by the way. For by grace, ye are saved through faith, not of our own selves, but it's the gift of God. We're not kept by our own power. We're not kept by what we can do, but we're kept by grace through faith. And friends, tonight, Noah built his life on faith, and he trusted his Lord as his Savior. Noah had a personal relationship with God. And because Noah was walking with God, verse 9 tells us, he could know that he was saved. Amen? Noah could know that he was in a relationship with God. Noah had a no-so salvation. I like to say that. Noah had a no-so salvation. And you know what? You can have a no-so salvation. Noah could have confidence that he was going to make it to heaven. We read in the New Testament that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And friends, this evening, you can have the assurance of salvation. You can have confidence in your eternal destiny. If you're walking with Christ, that's heaven. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you tonight, if you fail to follow God's word, if you walk away from His commands, if you choose selfish ambitions, then you will no longer be right with God. And you will no longer be in line for heaven. But the good news is that, as I just mentioned a moment ago, you can live the Christian life and you can make it. 1 John 1:7 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you can know it. You can have peace within your heart. You can have joy that many know nothing of. You can have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who spun this world into existence. You can know him tonight. You can know the one who died for Adam and Eve. You can know the one who died for Lamech. You can know the one who died for Enoch. You can know the one who died for Noah. You can know the one who died for Peter and Paul. You can know the one who died for Scott Loper. You can know the one who died for Brother Ziegler. Jesus Christ saves, and he longs to establish a relationship with you tonight. He's chosen that whosoever will may come to Jesus. And if you choose him, if you stay in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can be confident in your eternal destiny. That means you can know that you're in a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Noah lived in a sinful, perverted world. He lived in a wildly chaotic world, and yet he stood. We live in a wildly chaotic world with lots of things vying for our attention. But we can stand. We can stand on God's word and what he has for us. By faith, Noah, Hebrews tells us, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, by faith, through the challenges that he faced, through the peer pressure that he faced, through the difficult circumstances that he faced, he built an attitude of integrity. He was blameless before others. He built an ark by faith. And he also built confidence in where he was going to make his eternal home. And that was heaven. Because he knew he was right with God. Friends, this evening, you can know that you are right with God. You can ask God to forgive you of your sins. You can confess that he is Lord. You can begin a relationship with him. And as long as you don't violate his word, as long as you walk with him, you can have confidence in where you're going to make your eternal destiny. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. And one day, Theodore Roosevelt came to her and he wanted to buy some food for his Rough Riders. But Clara Barton refused. She said no. Theodore Roosevelt was very confused by that. This is a lady who gave her life to help people. And Theodore Roosevelt knew that. He went to her and she said, no, you can't buy anything. He was very perplexed and he was telling another friend of his that, yeah, I went to Clara Barton and she said I couldn't buy anything. I don't understand. My men need food. They need supplies. They need help. I don't know what to do. He said, Colonel, go back and just ask and see what happens. Theodore Roosevelt went back to Clara Barton and said, could I have some supplies for my men? She said, of course you can have anything that you need. He understood something right then. He understood that the provisions were not for sale. And all he had to do was simply ask. And friend, this evening, the sacrifice has been made for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for Noah, also died for you and I. And the offer of salvation cannot be bought. It can't be bought. It's not for sale, but it's freely given. And all you must do is ask. I'm asking Sister Geraldine to come to the piano. I felt this is what I should share tonight. The very first night of revival. It's a challenging truth. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the circumstances that you're facing tonight. I don't know the challenges that you're coming from. I don't know what you faced yesterday, and I don't know what you'll face tomorrow. But I do know that we serve a God in heaven who is sovereignly orchestrating this world, and He knows exactly where you're at tonight. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly the situations that you're facing. And maybe tonight He's just asking, will you trust me? I don't know. I don't know the challenges you're facing. And maybe Jesus is just saying, trust me. Trust me. Will you build an ark? You're not going to build an ark. God's not going to have you go build a 300-cubit ark. He's not going to have you do that. He might, but I don't think so. But it may be something just as big to you. I don't know what that could be. Maybe it's a call. Maybe it's God asking you to do the unthinkable and move away from everything you know. It could be. That's drastic, maybe. I don't know what it is. But God may be asking you, He may be asking you to just trust Him. Maybe tonight you've been living the Christian life. You've been doing your best, but there has come a moment along your journey, maybe a couple of months ago, maybe it's been a year or two ago, where you kind of lost focus. And as you live your Christian life, you can say, I'm not living my life in a way that is blameless. I'm not conducting my life in a way that if an independent investigator came into my heart and in my life and watched every move that I made, he would know that I go to church on Sunday. He would know that I'm in revival tonight, and I'm so glad you're here. I don't want to throw away or cast away your confidence, but you would know that if he looked close enough, maybe you're not as blameless as you ought to be. Maybe Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is coming up beside you and saying, brother or sister, you need to watch your attitude. You need to watch how you speak to so-and-so. You need to watch how we talk about that annoying person at work. I don't know. Or maybe tonight you simply don't know Jesus. You have been in the church your entire life. You've been sitting in these pews. You've been to youth camp. You've been to family camp. You've been to all of the services that you could ever think of. But you've just never made a personal commitment to Him. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus loves you. And He wants to establish a relationship with you. And He can do it. And you can make it. He loves you. Maybe you're here tonight, and this is the very first time that you've ever darkened the doors of a church. Maybe it's your second time or your third time, and you're just wondering, what are they talking about? I'll tell you what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about a God who is in heaven, who spun this world into existence, who created the stars and the sun and the moon. He created you and He created me. He created everything in this world, and He loves you. He takes personal interest in you. And He loves you so much. And He wants to establish a relationship with you. And in this book called the Bible, we learn about that. And we learn in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because we all face a destiny. We all will die at some point in our life. And there's only two places we can go. It's heaven, where the one who created this world resides, or hell, a terrible place that we don't want to go. And Jesus wants to have a relationship with you so that you can have a relationship with Him. And He loves you. And this Christian life is not a drudgery. This Christian life is not something that we just talk about just to talk about, but it's a life-giving, joyful, wonderful reality that you can have. And when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you can make it. Hallelujah. You can make it no matter what comes, no matter the difficulties, no matter the challenges, no matter your past or your present. You can make it. So tonight I'm going to ask if you would stand tonight. And the invitation is very simple. I'm not going to tarry long. Maybe you just need to ask God for a little bit more faith. Don't cast away your confidence. Maybe tonight you need to be blameless before others. You haven't been living like you should. And God's talking to you. And maybe tonight, Jesus standing beside you and you feel His presence, you feel that nudge in your heart, and you feel like you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We'd love to pray for you. If you're new here, it's our custom that we come and we pray here at this altar. We're not trying to embarrass you. We're not trying to do anything weird or crazy. We're just trying to pray with you. And we want you to recognize that we love you and we care for you and we want to pray with you. And so, the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart tonight. I would invite you to come. Come right now. Jesus wants to help you. Jesus loves you. Are you blameless? Not tarrying long. What is God asking of you? What obstacle is in your life that you need to have more faith over? Are you blameless? Do you need to ask Jesus into your heart and into your life? He loves you. He longs to have a relationship with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe there's someone here tonight who the Lord has spoken to you. Maybe you feel the Holy Spirit has talked to you tonight and you would just say, "Preacher, I didn't come tonight, but would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand and I would love to pray with you. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I would love to pray with you." If there's anybody like that that would like prayer tonight, just slip up your hand and put it down. Amen. Amen. I see those hands tonight. God knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly where you're at. He loves you. He longs to establish His relationship with you. Those who know the value of prayer and would like to come and pray around these that are here praying tonight, would you please come and pray with those here tonight?